This is Stop and Think Radio, a positive addiction for your brain, with Tim Horton and Al Matulowicz on TalkZone Internet Talk Radio.
Stop and Think Radio back on the air, and this is part two of our broadcast about fiddling while America burns, and it seems like there's some really, really difficult crises happening in America, certainly economically and morally, and that there's a whole generation of people that do not care or don't choose to be part of the solution, and kind of going off aimlessly into the world of, in the surreal world of television. Al Matulowicz with me, and also our friend John, who has been in recovery for 20 years and knows that America needs to recover. John, would you say that television could be known as an addiction in the way it's being used in today's society?
Oh, absolutely. With the mindless programs going on, it very well can be an addiction, and one that is glorified, and it's, I'd have to say it's unhealthy for us.
Yeah. And Al, you were mentioning before, and we had talked a little bit off microphone, about the whole wave of crime shows that are on. Everything from the newest offering called The Mentalist to some of the CSI programs have been there for 10 years or more. And it seems like we're really educating our generation here on either how to be a criminal or at least what criminals are all about. They're fixated.
First of all, is the warped sense that if you have such 80% of your drama shows are crime-based or law enforcement-based, how's that skewer things? It gets you to be thinking that the people who they're watching on TV, there's a lot of people out there like that. I'm sorry, thankfully there aren't thousands and millions of serial killers. But you get that impression from watching CBS or NBC because half their shows are about tracking serial killers and profiling them and going into all their bizarre fetishes and this and that and whatever else. I mean, you've got a magazine right there that just chronicles how many millions of people are watching CSI, Law and Order, and all of those variables. You've got, three Law and Orders, you've got three CSIs.
This is TV Guide, by the way, doing a write-up on this. Now, in deference to the network executives, their whole idea is if it sells and if it gets ratings, well, we'll put it on. Obviously, it all started with the CSI group, and they got such phenomenal ratings that they developed more programs along that ilk, wouldn't you say?
Well, if I've got the factory and it's next to the river and no one's looking and no one's going to object, then I'll pour the sewage from the factory right into the river. It is flowing down the river, so it ain't going to affect me. Who cares about the people down there? And that's the same thing existing here. There's a reckless disregard for what they're doing. There's a criminally negligent, depraved indifference about their actions. We talked about that one time where the advertising agency had determined that they would promote the show on the grounds that it was that frightening to parents, that it was that divisive between parents and children, that it would be something that kids definitely want to watch because it would irritate your parents. What kind of sick brains do we have doing this? And this is the problem in America, is that there's an emotional and a moral sickness as twisted and warped is in. You don't just have to go to Fox Tweeter Center to see the Warped Tour coming through, or Ozzy Osbourne, or the rest of these characters. There's a sick twistedness that's laughed at by the 40 and unders because they've been raised with it. You know, your daughter's, 32? Okay, she watches The Rock of Love, and she was raised in this. I know guys like Phyllis. She's got a son. He's an attorney, and his favorite was Ozzy Osbourne. And she was concerned for years that he was going to kill himself, because so many of the songs that Ozzy Osbourne sang had to do with suicide, and he was a depressive sort of kid. And do we have to make these kind of problems up for people through what we provide for quote-unquote entertainment? It should be taking us away from our problems, not adding to them.
John, you're the father of adult children who have been raised in the middle of what we might call the MTV generation. Tell me about what you think about their viewing habits and how it may have affected them.
Well, I'd have to look over their shoulders once in a while to see what they were watching,
But they tell you.
They do, but it's got increasingly worse. I'm looking at, maybe my memory's failing me, but it seems to get increasingly worse, and it's given them some, I'm not really excited about their viewing habits, but, I don't think there's anything I can do personally, and that's what I find frustrating, especially after listening to Al, and, I think it also glorifies becoming a criminal. I don't know if I'd watch one of those shows, and this is speaking for myself, if it would make me want to become a police officer. I think it has the opposite effect. I think it glorifies, a lot of these shows glorify the criminal and the criminal activity that goes on.
Look what's going on in our police departments. We're in Massachusetts. There was a wave of indictments of these guys who were acting as couriers and security for drug peddling sales. And then I can picture the chief of police in Brockton, and he was snorting all the evidence from the evidence locker up his nose, and then this one and that one. It's rampant. The front page of today's Boston Herald. This guy shoots 20 people, commits 20 murders, and he's doing a movie deal. And because the People's Republic of Massachusetts made unconstitutional the Son of Sam law that we had, this guy technically may be able to get away with it. This is the bizarreness that we're letting go, and it's become so bizarre it's now mainstream. And so there, in 1992, Pat Buchanan talked about a culture war, and then people since then have said, well, the culture war has been lost. Now what's at stake is not any culture. We've lost any sense of culture. What's at stake is the survival of any kind of American way of life.
You talk about indifference and depravity. We're talking about, at its basest form here, the depravity of man run amok. And it doesn't look like it's slowing down. It looks like it's speeding up.
Well, I watched Hannibal on cable. You know, it was a remake. Came out a few years ago. But he's taking people's brains while he's sliced it off, and he's putting it in the frying pan and nibbling on it.
All righty then.
This is the kind of stuff that they think that we want. Now, maybe indeed there are people out there who want that. I'd like to find out who they are, and let's deal with them.
It must sell. You know,
obviously.
It's got to say.
Right. Money is the motivator. I've listened to Al. Money is the motivator here, and it's very, very unfortunate. I, for one, would like to get away from that stuff. Personally, I want to get away from it. I'd feel healthier if I could. I may be in the extreme minority, but I'm fortunate to have the tools of recovery at my behest, and I can use those tools to ground myself on a daily basis. And frankly, I need that because if I were a lot younger, I might buy into all that's happening, all these shows, and it's just scary for me.
Well, in terms of what can society do, we've got an incoming administration. They seem to want to present an enlightened picture. They try to want to say that we need to unite in these times of crisis. Twice in the last 2 weeks when I've seen Obama speak, he used the word very sobering. Information is very sobering, which highlights something. Sober doesn't just mean no booze in your system. It means soundness of mind, and that's what we've lost. I want to get in that White House and talk to this guy and say, look, if you're going to talk sobering, we need to get soundness of mind injected back into the American people. Let's start this project of walking America through the steps of recovery. There's no downside to it. It can't do anything but help people. Let's try it. We're in a desperate situation.
With the idea of soberness in Scripture, and I can speak from that standpoint, comes also vigilance. Sober and vigilance, being sober and being vigilant. There's not a watchman on the wall with regard to the TV networks. There's nobody minding the store. It's the inmates running the asylum. Anything goes. Where's the responsible folks in TV networks saying, you know what, okay, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put that stuff on. We're going to put something on that is uplifting. I don't know. Is there any?
They have to be swimming up the stream because the networks want to make money. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to take away the prime money makers, you're not going to be too popular saying, we can't put that on. So I think that's your answer right there. Money rules. Let me say that again. Money rules. Money makes the decisions. And Al was referring to the president-elect, and he seems to be a well-intentioned fellow. But I don't think there's a thing he can do by himself either. I think he needs to get something, some support system going that we can lean on, because even the most well-intentioned fellow, if he's swimming against the stream all the time, he can't do it by himself either.
That's right. Mm. That's why the best way I can see to try to unite a divided America around something that we all can unite around is to unite around the steps of recovery. It's proven itself in over 400 different capacities to reach whatever illness, ism, or whatever you're dealing with. Plus the fact that it's truly American. It was formed in the midst of the Depression. No one's ever said anything bad about it as far as I can see. Some people may not want to accept it for themselves, but they can't find anything wrong with it. It works for those who work it. Why not employ it on a national level to try to bring America together?
I see, Alan. You know what? I'm starting to connect a few dots here. Because as you were speaking, I seem to recall it says someplace that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm. All kinds
now,
do
you suppose that this is still in effect, the love of money is the root of all evil?
I don't believe it's the root of all evil. It's the root of all kinds of evil. What had happened is it's been a Joseph-like situation. I've said this on the air before. He saved Egypt. Then he died. Then pharaohs came who didn't remember who Joseph was. And so things went on in a different direction. We've got Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite, Charles Underwood, all those great CBS news guys. They're gone. And the people who replace them are, as you say, driven simply by money. They're like this Madoff guy or all these other people. It's just all money, money, money. And so as a result, morality is trumped by the money. Now, the only way you're going to make these people pay attention is in their pocketbook. Mm. Why not get up a class action, put together? The attorney generals of various states sued Big Tobacco, didn't they? They got some money from it, didn't they? I think the pollution into the minds and hearts of people from what's coming out from entertainment is just as dangerous as the pollution into the lungs.
Realistically, though, counselor, what's the possibility of being able to get some kind of a causal effect on a class action suit of that magnitude? That's huge, right?
Well, here's the point. We all agree this stuff is mind-numbing. So there's the evidence in terms of the causation of the mind-numbingness. Mm-hmm. And then you call to the stand, or you produce the people who are under the effects of this stuff, and then exhibit them to say, look at how they're behaving and where did they get that input to behave the way that they do. Mm-hmm. Is there a preponderance of the evidence suggesting such? See, it's a civil case, so the standard is preponderance of the evidence. You don't have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you could certainly present a causal connection.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a person who can deny that there's a moral rot and a brain rot from TV. We've read it from how many different sources?
A lot of studies. Yeah.
So what you do is have a war of experts. The studios would bring in all their experts at $600 an hour saying, no, you're really wrong. But the point of it is this. First of all, you'd make them spend a bunch of money to defend themselves and open them up to the court of public opinion. Secondly, they may stop and think and say, is this really worth it? Just like Big Tobacco. Didn't they make a deal?
Yeah, they haven't paid it out yet, have they? I mean, it's still an appeal.
But the point of it is that anything, you know, a shot across the bow, you never can tell what will happen unless you take it.
It's awareness you're talking about.
As a start.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the possible cure, or at least the recovery from the mind-numbing effects of this generation of television, and how it really can have us not just stop and think, but engage and become engaged in this phenomenal problem we have, and that is America is in deep trouble, both economically and morally. And we'll have more on that with John and Al as we continue. The number to call, 888-446-5234. That's toll-free, 888-446-5234, with any comments you have, or if you'd like information about recovery, 888-446-5234. Or go to our website, stopandthinkradio.com. This is the Stop and Think Radio Network.